The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being studied. Nishmat Avraham ben Esther v'Eliyahu ben Areg Aluach Adonai Temihem Gan Eden Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Amud Bet. We have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Amar Ula. Amar Rabbi Yohanan. New point. Temidim shelo hutzrechu lesibur nifdin temimim. Literally means the korban tamid that the sibur does not need, they're allowed to redeem them even though they are temimim. They are complete and they do not have a mum. What is this talking? We have to read Rashi. Temidim, it's all the way up. Temidim shelo tzrichu lesibur. Shelakru mima'ot terumat aleshka. They used to take the money of the terumat aleshka, that's the mahasit ha-shekel that they would collect from Nisan to Nisan. With that money they would use to buy the korban utnan. En pohatin mishishat tila'im ambukarim beleshkat ha-tila'im. You always have to have at least 6 korban tamids ready, checked, to prepare, and prepared for the mizbeah. Ushemagia Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, when Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the new year comes, lo ayu maklivim shum korbanot sibur memahot ha-teruma shel ishtakad. You weren't allowed to bring any korbanot that was paid with the money from last year's budget. Kedekamar memasikat Rosh Hashanah. Zot olat chodesh bechodesho hadesh ve'abe korban mitruma chadasha. A certain month of Nisan, you have to start bringing all the korbanot from the new funds. V'nimseu bechod shana v'shana arba'at tila'in b'deshkat tila'im ma'ot ha'turma ishana. It would come out that you would always have 4 korbanot extra from last year's funding, because again they would have 6 in the storage always. So they would use 2 on the last day of the year. When Rosh Chodesh Nisan would come around, you'd have 4. Those 4 you couldn't use because it was paid with last year's shkalim. Exactly, you couldn't use them. So what do you do with it? So the Rashi says, nifdin timimim. You redeem them even though they are shalim. Lachshidam b'shanazu. What do you do? I want to kosher them. So how do I kosher them? Mehalelin otan al ma'ot chulin. Take chulin money, transfer the kedusha of the korban on the chulin money. The otam ma'ot yelchul lemotar teruma yishana she'osim mem rikuchay pachim sipui lebet kodesh akodashim. And that money you use for what's called motar teruma. Use it for other maintenance issues in the Beit HaMikdash, for example, for plating the mizbeach. You know, the mizbeach had a gold plate on it. Sometimes it wears out, so therefore. Or the pans, use that money for other purposes. Now, once those 4 animals go to Chulin, you rebuy them from the new Teruma. You take from the new Shkalim and you repurchase them. So now you have the same animals. So now, but what's the difference now? You bought them from the new funding. Now you can bring them in this year. Normally you don't make a redemption on an animal unless it has a mum, it has a blemish. These belong to the sibur, nifdim. They're able to be redeemed. Okay, so that already is the hadush of the Gemara. Who's making this statement? This is Ula, the name of Yohanan, that in the case of Korban Tamid Shel Sibur, that you need to redeem it, you can redeem it and rebuy it and sanctify it for the coming year. Gemara says, Yativ Rabba Vekaamar La Lehash Ma'ta. Rabba said, and he told over this halakha. Amar Le Rav Chazda. So Rav Chazda didn't understand the halakha. He questioned it. He said, "Man sayit lach ul Rabbi Yohanan Rabbach. Who's going to listen to you and to Rabbi Yohanan your rabbi? V'chi kedusha shebahen lehechan halcha. Where did the kedusha go? How could you take the kedusha off? After all, there's no mum on it. And if there's no mum, the pinyon is not valid. And if the pinyon is not valid, it's still considered kedushat ola from last year. What is this business? Where do we ever hear that you can make a pinyon on something that's shalim? Rashi, kedusha shebahim, kedusha teguf shebahim, dekim lan she'enem betchalilet belo mum. Hechan alcha. Exactly. Where did it go? So the Gemara says back to him, Amar le, at lo tisbera de lo amninan kedusha shebahim hechan alcha. What? You don't agree that there's a case in the Beit HaMikdash that you're able to take the kedusha off something, even though there's no baal mum? What do you do with the following Mishnah, Rav Chisda? Says in the Mishnah, Motar ketoret ma hayu osimba. Every year they would have, at the end of the year, leftover from the ketoret. Because the ketoret had 365 parts to it. Actually, it had 368 parts to it. Shelosh me'ot v'shishim u'shmona manim ayuba. Shelosh me'ot v'shishim v'chamisha. 365 kiminyanim otachamah mane bechod yom machasito babocher machasito ba'erev u'shlosha manim yeterim shemehem machnis bem kohen gadol melo chofna b'yom kippurim. On Kippurim, he would go melo chofna with the extra three manim, but there was still extra after he would go melo chofna. He wasn't able to grab the whole thing. So what did you do with the leftover ketoret that you were not able to wait until next Kippur, because Nisan would pass in between? And once Nisan passes, you have to start using the new funding. So therefore, what would you do with the old ketoret? Say what it says. Motar ketoret ma yu osim ba mafrishim mimena schara umanim. They would do is, they would separate from it the reward or the payment that they would give the umanim. Umanim is the Bet Aptinas. Bet Aptinas is the family that was in charge of doing the ketoret. They would pay them 12 coins a year, one coin a month. So they would pay, they would designate money in order to pay the family of Bet Aptinas. Umahalelin ota al ma'ota ummanim. They would transfer the kedusha of the ketoret onto the money that they would pay Bet Aptinas. Venotnim ota le ummanim b'scharan. And they pay them the 12 coins as their payment. And then they go and they buy back the ketoret from the teruma chadasha, and that's how they kosher up the ketoret again. They would redeem the ketoret. How would they redeem the ketoret? Take the money, take money, chulin money, transfer the ketoret kedusha to the money, pay the Bet Aptinas with the money, and now the ketoret is chulin, rebuy it back with the teruma chadasha. Now, for that matter, they didn't have to do with this whole business of using the money that they would pay Bet Aptinas. They could have just let somebody else come and redeem it, but they didn't want to do such a thing for the ketoret. And if kavod to the ketoret, they kept it inside. They did it internally. Look at that. She explains it exactly in house. That she says, "Motara ketoret." Hanotar bechol shana mitruma yeshana, from the old ketoret from last year. Mayu osim ba lachshina leshana ba'a de'en lecha shana she'en ba motar ketoret. Every year you have leftover ketoret mishlosha manim yeterim, from the extra three manim yeterim shemefatamim bechol shana lemno chofnaim biyom kippurim. Okay, good. Next Rashi, mafrishim schar umanim mitrumat leshka schar umane bet aptinas. They would take coins from the lishka, from the treasury, because anyway they pay the Bet Aptinas from the treasury. They would take 12 money as their payment. So they take 12 money from the treasury, and what? Umahalelin ota askar ma'ot umanim. Mezakina ma'ot umanim al yede echad min gizbarim. Now they didn't pay the money to Bet Aptinas directly. They would take one of the gizbarim, one of the treasurers of the Beit HaMikdash, and they would give him the 12 coins on behalf, and he would accept it on behalf of Bet Aptinas. Zechina Adam Shlo B'fanav. Once already the gizbar would be mezakir the money, it was considered as if it belonged to Bet Aptinas. Now the ketoret became chulin again, and the money now had kedusha. V'arein chulin. V'harkach yahalelu haketoret alehim, and then after they would pay bet aptinas with the coins, they would now mechalel the ketoret on it, v'notim otam le'umani v'arei yichol, v'chozrim v'lochim otam metruma chadasha, v'achi tzaniya milta tefer. This was the more modest way of doing it. V'lo le'mochra v'lachzov v'leknota, dezila milta. They could have also sold it, right? And then buy it back from somebody. But that would have been a zilzul. So again, that's the way they would do the ketoret. They would take money from the truma to lishka, for the schar umani, for the workers, that's the bet aptinas, and by doing that, the kibusha, well, by paying bet aptinas, the truma to lishka money, once they, the truma to lishka is kodesh, they would pay bet aptinas with the money would now become chodin, once they give it to the gizbar, and now they would take this ketoret and put the kedusha on the money on that ma'ot over there, and then we go out. Chiluz ze haya na'ase midat ha'umanim. You have to tell the bet aptinas what you're doing over here. She'areh b'sha'a zu haya ma'ot shelahem. Their money. Now all of a sudden you're taking their money and you're turning it into kodesh. Then you pay them, and all of a sudden, okay, you take the money that's holy now, once you pay them, and put the ketoret kedusha on that. There's no option. You have to tell them that. Okay. Now, in any event, what do you see from over here? Is the Beferush Mishnah. Gemara says, Ve'amai. Why don't you ask the same question? The Chazda. Nema kedusha shebahem lehechan alcha. Where did the kedusha go? The ketoret is called kedushat haguf. Kedushat haguf means it's la'oy to go in the mizbeach. It's intrinsically kadosh. And the law is, unless there's a mum on it, you can't redeem it. But you're redeeming the motar ketoret. So you're asking a question on the ola. You ask the question of Azar. Kedushah shelahem lechan alcha. And what do you do with the beferush mishnah by the case of the ketoret? That also says the ketoret is totally viable. And what do? Transfer the kedushah of the ketoret to money. In the way we said it, in a modest way, they don't have to sell the ketoret, but do it in-house. And it works. So therefore, how do you learn the Mishnah? What are you asking me on the Korban Ola case? You also have to agree to this concept because it's a Beferush Mishnah. So Amale, so the Pazdan says, Ketoret Ka'amart. You're bringing me an ayah from Ketoret. Shani Ketoret. Ketoret is different. The Kedushat Damimu. It's not Kedushat Taguf. It's Kedushat Damim. In the Hava Amina, we assumed, look at that she in the bottom of the Amud of Yud. Less Rashi, 2 lines in the bottom. Tesal kadatach temachteshet kli sharet. We thought initially the machteshet, the grinder, that they grind the ketoret in, is considered a holy vessel. Vekivan de kanchala bechli. The law is like this. Anything that's mikudash ayedek keli has a status of kedushat aguf. So, and therefore, once it has kedushat aguf, lecha'ora, you cannot make a pidyon on it. And still we see what? That the ketoret, it was mikudash bichli sharet, the mechteshet, and the Mishnah clearly said that you can redeem it. What do you do with this Mishnah? He says, you brought me ketoret. No, you're wrong. Ketoret doesn't have a din of kedushat aguf. It has a din of lower kedushah. It's called only kedusha of its value, not intrinsic, and therefore it has redemption. That's she on the top. Kedusha damim, and by the kedusha damim, it only has kedusha because she took it from holy money. She nakamet turmat leshka, aba bechli lo kedusha. It's not considered sanctified in a keli. That's kedusha taguf, the machteshet she nishhaka ba lav klisharetu. Clearly, the machteshet is not a klisharet. Therefore, it doesn't have a din of kli kedusha taguf. When did we say that you can't be poder something? That's when it has that kedushat aguf, like the korban ola. That's intrinsic kedushat, goes on the mizbeah. That's kedushat aguf. Then you can't redeem it. But the ketoret, it's a lower kedushat. It's called kedushat damim. So I'm asking you from korban ola, and you ask me a question. You bring me a raya from ketoret, apples and oranges. This is kedushat damim. You're allowed to be poder. Gemara says, Ela me'ata. Okay, that was that. I buy your argument. You sold me. Kedushat ketoret is kedushat damim. If that's the case, lo tipasel betebul yom, it should not become pasul if a tebul yom touched it. What's a tebul yom? Tebul yom is a guy that went to the mikveh and he has to wait until sunset, right? So if he touched it when it was still the daytime, it's called a tebul yom. If you're telling me it's kiddushat damim, it shouldn't be affected by tebul yom. Maybe it's not. That's not what it says. Alama, Tanya, and what? We have a brayta that says, Natna b'mechteshet. Once you put the ketoret in the mechteshet, nifselet b'tevul yom, it becomes pasul b'tevul yom. So the Gemara says, so what? What type of question is that? V'chi tema kol kiddushat damim nifselet b'tevul yom. Maybe everything that's kiddushat damim gets pasul by tevul yom. Why is that a question? It is. No, which is, it is Kiddushat Damim, and the Kiddushat Damim is affected by Tevul Yom. What's the problem? No, Ve'atena'an, if not so. HaMenachot. Menachot is the Menachot that you bring, the meal offerings that you bring. Mo'alim Ba'im, you are subject to the laws of Mi'ila, meaning you're not allowed to benefit from them, and if you benefit from them, you have Mi'ila, Mishukdishu, which means once you sanctify them. What's sanctify them? Which means, once you already designated them, and you bought them in Ha, even before you put it in the keli. Once you've designated them in Ha, after you bought it, there's Me'ina. Next level. Kidshu b'kli. Once you put it in the kli, sharet them in Ha. Hukshiru lipasel b'tevul yom. Now already it reaches a higher level. You put them in Ha and kli sharet. Oh, what's kli sharet? Kli sharet makes them in Ha now into Kiddushat Haguf. When you bought it, it's Kiddushat Damim. Now he says, so you bought it, Mi'ila, you can't benefit from it. Once you put it in the Kli Sharet, now it's considered Kiddushat Guf. Now it's going to be subject to what? Tevul Yom touches it, it's a problem. Mechusar Kippurim. Or let's say somebody that is Taor and he went to the Mikveh, but he still didn't bring his Korbanot to finalize his purity. He's called Mechusar Kippurim. If he touches it, also it's going to be Metameh. Ubelina. And also it's going to be Pasul if you leave it over night. So what is the Gemara proof from here? Kidsho bechliin. Only because you put it in the keli, it's subject to tevul yom. Because once you put it in the kli sharet, it's considered kiddushat aguf. Lo kidsho bechli, lo. But if you didn't put it in the keli, it's not subject because it was only din of kiddushat damim. So you see over that kiddushat damim is not considered kadosh for tevul yom. But you're telling me, according to you, Rav Chazdada, you want to say that the ketoret is kedushat damim, then why is it pasul b'tevul yom? Again, you want to say, Rav Chazdada, ketoret is considered kedushat damim. That's why you're able to redeem it. No problem. But you have a problem. Because it says in the Braita that it's pasul from a tevul yom. And we know that tevul yom only is able to metame things of kiddushat haguf, not things of kiddushat damim. So what are you going to do with that Braita? Yeah, the question. Because elamai kiddushat hagufi. Okay, so what do you want me to concede? You want me to tell you it's kiddushat haguf to ketoret? You have a problem also if it says kiddushat haguf. Why? If you're telling me it's Kiddushat Aguf, then the Ketoret should be Pasul if you left it overnight. Belina. Why? Alama Tanam. Why then we learned in the Mishnah, it says, Hakomets. Komets is what? Komets is the Komets that they would take. The scoop from his hands. Komets. Valibonad, that's the frankincense that they would put in the Ketoret. The Ketoret and the Ketoret himself, Minchat Kohanim and the Minchat that the Kohanim would bring. These are all Minchat Kohanim that there was no comment. So the old Minchat Kohanim was Mezbeach. Minchat Kohen Mashuach and the Kohen Mashuach that he would bring a special Minchat Habitin it's called, that the Kohen would bring every single day. Minchat Nesachim and the Minchat that goes with the Nesachim, like it says in the Torah, Shlosha Esrim Lapar, Oshnei Esrim Na'ayl, etc., that they would bring with the Korbanot. Mo'alim Behem Mishukdeshu. Once already you designated them, they become subject to those of Me'ilah. Kidshu Bekli, once you put it in the Kli Sharet, Hukshiru Lipasel B'Tvul Yom. Now they become Pasul already by a Tvul Yom, Ube Mechusar Kippurim, Ube Lina. And also they become Pasul in Lina. So the Gemara says, Kidshu Bekli In. only because you were mekadesh it in a kli sharet. That's why it's subject to the law of lina. Lo kitshu bechli. No, but if you didn't put it in a kli sharet, it does not become them. And you just told me that the machteshet is not considered a kli sharet. If the machteshet is not considered a kli sharet, so therefore, why then are you going to tell me that it's pasul? If you're telling me that it's kedushat aguf, the ketoret, it should be pasul bilina. Rav Hasdah started off, get the sequence. Rav Hasdah started off and said, what are you talking about? Ola that has kedusha, it's shalem, you can redeem it. Where did the kedusha go? You can't redeem something that is shalem. Oh yeah, you can't redeem something that is shalem. You do it by the ketoret. He says, ketoret ka'amar. Shali ketoret. Ketoret is kedushat damim. You can redeem kedushat damim. So, excuse me. It's kedushat damim. So in that case over there, it shouldn't be posel b'tvul yom. Because we have a rule, the Chaura, that says what? That only kedushat haguf is pasul b'tvul yom. And what are you going to do with that? So then he comes back and says, so what do you want to tell me? It's kedushat aguf? So if it's kedushat aguf, it should be pasul bilina. And we know that the ketoret is not pasul bilina unless you put it in the kli sharet. But before you put it in the kli sharet, when it was just in the machteshet, it's not pasul bilina. So whatever way you're going, we're asking questions on the ketoret. What is it? Is it kedushat damim? If it's kedushat damim, then already we don't understand why it's pasul b'tvul yom. Okay, so what do you want to tell me? It's kedushat aguf? So if it's kedushat aguf, so then the kaora we have a problem because it should be pasul bilina. But the Mishnah clearly says until you put it in the kli sharet, it's not pasul bilina. So what is it? So Yevra says, Amale, so Rav Hasdah comes back and says, I'll repeat it again. Amale, lina ka'amart. What are you talking about? You bring me a question from leaving it overnight. Lina, shani ketoret. Hu'il betzurata bechol hashana kula. It doesn't change the ketoret, which is when do you say that it is a psul and lina, leaving something overnight? That's on an item that by leaving it over the night, it's going to change its surah, it's going to spoil, it's going to decay. The incense doesn't spoil, the ketoret remains intact, and therefore, I can really tell you that there is no din of lina negabe the ketoret. Oh, but it clearly says that what? That once you put it in kli sharet, there is a problem of lina. Explanations like this. Really, I'll tell you, minat Torah, there's no problem of lina by the ketoret. You can leave it overnight because it doesn't change and it doesn't spoil. But the rabbis made a gezerah. The rabbi said, when you put the ketoret in kli sharet, then already we're going to throw the lina story on you. Gezerah atu other items that when you put it in the kli sharet, if we let this item be in pure kli sharet and not subject to lina, people are going to get confused in other items as well. When did we make the gezerah? Only when you put it in a kli sharet and it's similar to other items. However, when it's still in the machteshet, which the machteshet is really not a kli sharet to start off with, so then already we're not going to make the gezerah of zina at all. The gezerah of zina is only when you put it in the kli sharet. Mashiach, when it's in the machteshet alone, since machteshet is not a kli sharet, so we don't have to make a gezerah that is going to be lina by the ketoret, add to another situation. So according to Rav Hasdah, Rav Hasdah's fine now. Let's start the Ishak Lamentariya again. Rav Hasdah started off the story. He heard a statement from Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan said, if you have those Qurban Olas, you need to redeem them. What should you do? Why do you need to redeem them? Because they're from last year. No problem. Pidyon. Kedusha. Herechan alcha. Where did the Kedusha go? You can make a pidyon on a shalem, on something that's not a ba'amum. Oh yeah? What do you do with the ketoret? The Mishnah clearly says you can make pidyon on the ketoret. Right? Bitaptinas, take the money, transfer and all that stuff. He says, what are you talking about? You asked me a question from Ketoret. Shani Ketoret. Ketoret is different. Ketoret is Kedushat Damim. He says, come on. When you stick the Ketoret into the Machteshet is not considered a Klisharet. Therefore, it doesn't turn into Kedushat Haguf. Therefore, the leftover of the Ketoret of Yom Kippurin, as in the Machteshet, you grounded it. And then you took Menoch Hofnav, right? You put it in the Klisharet. I believe the Klisharet. I'm talking about that stuff that's in the Machteshet. That's Kedushat Damim. Oh, so they tell him, Kedushat Damim. So then why then? If the Kedushat Damim, so therefore, lo tepasel betvul yom. It should not become pasul by a tevul yom. Alama tanya, and why did we learn that what? That if you put it in the Machteshet, it's going to be pasul betvul yom. And if you're going to tell me that all Kedushat Damims are pasul betvul yom, we learned not like that. We learned that only Kedushat Hagufs are betevul yom, and not Kedushat Damims. So he comes along and says, so what do you want to tell me? You want to tell me it's Kedushat Haguf? I can't tell me it's Kedushat Haguf, because if it's Kedushat Haguf, it should be pasul belina. So, and we know that what? That until you put it in Klisharet, it's not pasul belina. So he says, don't ask me from lina. Lina is a different lean. Really, I'll tell you, it is Kedushat Damim. And really, I'll tell you, you're not going to be Hayav on lina when you put it in the kli in the machteshet, because in the Torah there's no lina anyway by the ketoret. When the rabbis made a gezerah, when you put it in the kli shanet, even though it's lina doesn't apply to it, but the rabbanan they say gezerah to this one, to that one. Wait, so now the Gemara says, according to this, at this point over here, Gemara is saying like this. Really, I'll tell you. According to the Gemara's answer, you have to know where we're holding at each stage of the game over here. Really, I'll tell you that what Shketoret Mekadeshet Bektushat Taguf Meshinitah Bektushat. Now, really, I'll tell you at this point. This is the key point now, just to get the flow. Really, when you put it in the Mekadeshet, I could argue it's Kedushat Taguf, the Ketoret, and that's why Tevul Yom is going to be posel. Because Tevul Yom is only posel in the situation of Kedushat Haguf. You have to say it's Kedushat Haguf. That's why you have a problem with Tevul Yom. So really, I'll tell you, when you put it in the Machteshet, it's Kedushat Haguf. That's why Tevul Yom affects it. Sakam Lina doesn't affect it. Because since Lo Nishtanet Tzurata, since the Tzurah doesn't change, so therefore, there's no problem of lina, and the rabbis were not gozer lina in the machteshet, because the machteshet is only a hekshet. The machteshet is not its final keli. The machteshet only is the keli that prepares it for the klisharet. Therefore, there's no problem of lina. Really, by the way, even if you put it in the klisharet, there should be no problem of lina. Oh, but the rabbis made a gezerah in klisharet, that's the other klisharet. But really, it is considered kedushat haguf. Oh, so we're back to the question against the Chazda. If you're telling me that the Ketoret is Kedushat Haguf, Kedushah Shaita Baal Echan Alcha, you're knocking Rav Yohanan. Go to Rav Yohanan, who's going to listen to this halakha? Who's going to listen to this halakha? You have a Mishnah that also talks about Kedushat Haguf, which is the Ketoret, and at the same time the Mishnah says you can make a redemption. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha. You still have the kasha of Rav Chazda. V'chi kedusha shven nechan alka. Good. But you still have the kasha. Where did the kedusha go? How does it work? How could you make a pidyon on something that does not have a ba'al mu'min of Chazda? Asking a good question. Which means, we're not going to argue on the Mishnah, but how does it work mechanically? How does this item work? Rav Chazda's asking good. V'chi kedusha shven nechan alka. Two questions. How does it work by the Korban Ola? How does it work by the Ketoret? Good. Oh, so comes Gemara and says, Amar Abba, Lev Bedin Matne Aleim, Im Utsrechu. Utsrechu. Ve'im Lav, Ledmehem. Okay. New concept. Lev Bedin Matne Aleim. The Bedin in the Bet HaMikdash is able to make a condition. When they designate the Korban Ola, they say the following condition. If we're going to use this Korban Ola, and we need it, then already it's going to be considered Kedushat Haguf. We wanted to have Kiddushat Takuf. And therefore, it'll be viable for the Korban. But let's say we don't need it. For example, let's say these are the four that are going to be remaining, and therefore we got a problem. So we're saying from now that we're only sanctifying it on the level of Kiddushat Damim to allow it to be redeemed. Bet Din stipulates on the item at the time of the Hafrasha. Okay, there you go. So it's working with a condition. Same thing with the Ketoret. We're taking the Ketoret over here, it's Kiddushat Takuf, all that stuff, like we said. But in the event that we need to redeem it, if this is going to be the leftovers, so we're already putting a stipulation in at the time of the Hafrasha, it's considered Kiddushat Damim. So the stipulation of the Bet Din allows, because Kiddushat Damim you can redeem. Our problem is it's Kiddushat Takuf. It's not, it's stipulative. They make a stipulation from the beginning. Good? Lepetim at the Alim. Says, what are you talking about? Who answered this question, by the way? Rabbi answered the question. Well, I got the answer. Lepetim at the Alim. You like that answer? Very good. Because it can't be you yourself, Rabbi, you Rabbi, said, Va'amar mor, va'amor u'damar, higdish zachar ledamav, Kadosh Kiddushat Aguf. What's that case? Look at Rashi. Higdish Zachal Damav. Three, four lines at the bottom. Higdish Ayin Ledamav. You took a Korban, Ayin. Rim. You said, I am sanctifying this for its value. You didn't sanctify for a Korban necessarily. It's a Damim. Kadosh Kiddushat Aguf. Doesn't matter. Automatically, Kiddushat Taguf goes on the animal. Ve'enu nimkar me'achad shekdishu v'atzu la'u le'akraba. Enu yotze midim mizbeach. Which means, once you take an item that's viable for the mizbeach, even if you're going to say Kiddushat Damim, it doesn't matter. It jumps to Kiddushat Taguf. Because bottom line, an ayil is kasher for the korban. So you can't come along and say, oh, I want this to remain Kiddushat Damim. Once you sanctify the animal is ra'ui for Qurban Olah, it becomes a Qurban Olah regardless of what you said. That means the stipulation is not going to help you. So therefore the same thing over here. You took the Qurban Olah. Which stipulation? Once already it's ra'ui for Qurban Olah, you can't stipulate for Kiddushat Damim. Just like by a regular ayil. I think there's the ayil. What's the deen? It's Kiddushat Aguf. You can't redeem it, you can't do nothing to it. So the same thing by the Korban Olah. So that's your question. La kashya. Had amal idme olah. Had amal idme nesachim. It all depends what you say. Let's say I take this Korban, this ayil. Back to Rabbah's case. And I say, I'm designating this ayil for Kiddushat Lidme Olah. Right. What does Lidme Olah mean? I wanted to have Kiddushah, that what? That I'm going to redeem it and use the money to buy a Korban Olah. Since the ayil can be brought as a Korban Olah, so therefore it automatically takes Kiddushat Daguf. And it does not take Kiddushat Damim. But let's say I say to the animal like this, I want to mekadesh this animal, this ayil, to kiddushat nisachim, that I could buy with it nisachim, the pourings on the mizbeach. Could this korban be a nisachim? No, it's an animal. It's not a nisach. It's not a nisach. It's an animal. So since it's not viable for the damim that you designated it, it hits. Which means, when do you say it goes automatically to olah? When you designated the ayil. There, take the ayil. Kiddushat Damim Shel Olah. Kiddushat Damim Shel Olah means I want to redeem this animal and buy Olah with it. It jumps to Kiddushat Aguf. Why? Because it itself could be that way for Olah. But if I say I want to make this Kiddushat Damim to buy Nisachim with it, then it works. Why? Because since this is not viable for Nisachim, so therefore it has Kiddushat Damim Shel Nisachim. Now I can sell it and buy Nisachim. Similarly, when I sanctify the Korban, when I was mafrish to Korban Olah in the Beit HaMikdash, so I have these extra Korbanot that I cannot use them for the new year because they're from last year's item. So at the time of the designation, what are they designating it? They designate like this. If we need it for Korban Olah,
let it be Korban Olah.
But if not, let the value be used for maintenance for the Beit HaMikdash, to plate the Mizbeach, to buy the shovels, to buy all the... And since the animal itself cannot be used for shovels, it itself cannot be used for the plating of the Mizbeach, so therefore, you mekadeshki for something that it cannot be viable for. That's Kedushat Damim. Just like when you mekadesh the animal with Kedushat Nesachim, it works Kedushat Damim. So to live bedin mater, take the Olah, when I'm affliction. The Kedusha of the Korban will be used for the monetary aspect. We could buy shovels for the Mizbayah. Now, since this cannot be used for shovels for the Mizbayah, so the Kedusha Damim works. So the Bet Din tonight works. Beautiful. So that is that question. Really, I'll tell you, everything is Kedusha Daguf. But the Tanai gets us into the story. Yeah, but that's one problem. Eti be'abaye. Par sa'id shel yom kippurim she'abdu. Okay, Kohen's got to bring the par and say it in yom kippurim. They designated them. Before they slaughtered them, what happened? They got lost. So what they do? Ve'frish acherim tachtehem. So they designated others in their stead. Similarly, Sa'id Avodah Zara. Let's say you designated a Sa'id for Avodah Zara, where the Jewish people worshipped Avodah Zara based on a faulty ruling of Beit Din. Right? So they want to worship Avodah Zara. The law says they have to be a special Sa'id in order to be Mechaper. She'avdu, they lost it. They designated the Sa'id. No, son, they lost it. V'frish Aqarim Tahtem. And now they designated another one instead. And they brought it. And guess what happened after they brought it? They found the original. So what does it say you do? Kulan, all the behemoth that they found, Yamutu, Devrei Rabbi Yehuda. Let's understand Rabbi Yehuda's logic. The halakha of Moshe Sinai that says, if you have a korban chatat, shekevar kiblu habealim kapara, that the owners already received kapara, you take the hatat and you burn it, you kill it. So this is a classic case of it. The owners already got kapara because they brought the substitute. Now you found the original, so this is hatat ameta. This is hatat, you put it to death because it's hatat, the owners have kapara, you don't need it. However, that's the word of it. They say no, let them graze until they become blemished. Once they become blemished, you're able to sell them. And the money now becomes kadosh. And now take the money and donate it to the Kaitz HaMizbayah. Donate the money to the Beit HaMikdash to bring Korban Olah on the Mizbayah. See what he says to do? Let it graze. Let it become blemished. Redeem it. Take the now that once you redeem it, the thing is holding. Take the money and donate it to Beit HaMikdash. She'en chatat sibur meta. Because they have a rule. I agree with you. That alachal Moshe Mishnah was said by a private chatat. That if the guy got kapara, you put the animal, but not on a sibur chatat. So therefore, the sibur chatat is not meta. Okay. We didn't say a question yet. Now comes the question. Ve'amai, why are you telling me this law over here? Lema lebedin matne alehen. Why are you telling me over here you gotta kill them? Or why you tell me you have to, why do you have to tell me this din if you have to kill them according to the Shitot? Very simple. Why don't you say lebedin is matne? Meaning, when the bedin separates the korbanot for Kippur, why don't we say that? They say the following. If these korbanot are if these korbanot are needed, and if it's not needed, so then if they get lost, for example, and we're going to bring something else in between, so therefore we're going to only put kedushat damim on them, and therefore let us redeem it. Why are you telling me, according to the Biyudah, that they die? Why should they die? Why don't you say the same lim bedin matne alehim? Again, if you're telling me that there's a concept of lim bedin matne alehim, so we have an answer for this case. Again, the Kohanim, they designated the Korban, the Parbe Sa'ishu Mekipurim. Okay. At the time of the designation, what I'm saying, if this is going to be the Korban that we bring because we didn't lose it, then we want it to be, no problem. But in the event that we lose it, and what, another Korban is brought instead, then at this time we're only saying that this Kedushat should be the Kedushat Damim. Therefore, it allows us to make a redemption, and therefore Shalom, I said, what are you telling me according to the Perjita? No, they got to die. Chatat, Shemeta. Why do you say live bedin matne alehim? That is the question. And even according to the second shita, why do you have to wait till it has a blemish? Don't wait till it. If it's kedushat damim, you should be able to redeem it immediately. So therefore, if you're going with live bedin matne, none of these shitot make sense to us. Gemara says abudim ka'amart. You bring me a case where you lost the korban. Abudim shani abudim lo shkiche. Not a common case. You only say that the Bittin makes a Tanai on cases that are probable. But you don't assume that you're going to lose the Korban of Kippur and bring another Korban in its stead. That's fine. That's a far-fetched case. And therefore, we're not going to say Lid Bedin Batneh on a far-fetched case like Abudim. On a regular case. Listen, on the Ketoret, you know there's going to be left over Ketoret every year. On the Korban Olah, you know there's going to be four Korban Olahs left over every year. So therefore, the designation, how can we make a takana? Mashiach over here, in the event that you lose the Korban, to make it tonight on such a far-fetched case, anything. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, you tell me that you don't make a condition on a far-fetched case? I found the case that they did. Hare para, when it comes to the para aduma, de lo shkicha. Para aduma certainly is not a common case. Because they only found seven parot in the first Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, which means it's such a rare event, the Parah Adumah. The Tanya, what does it say in the Braita? Listen to the Braita by Parah Adumah. Parah, ya Parah Adumah, nifdi al kol psur sheba. As a Parah Adumah designated, kadosh. Any psur that takes place in the Parah Adumah, now I'm allowed to redeem it. No problem. Yeah, what I say. Meta, for example, it died before I did the Shechita. Tepadeh, redeem it. Nishchita, tepadeh. Let's say you slaughtered it in the wrong place. You have to slaughter it in a special place on Hanazetim, where they verify where there's no tum'ah over there. They slaughtered it in a different place. Pasul, redeem it. Here's the question right now. Matza acheret na'ahemena tepadeh. You found a better one, a prettier one. Make pidyon shehada al gabem ma'arachta. But if you did everything right, you slaughtered it al gabem ma'arachta. I mean, how does it team in the special holy place that you're supposed to? En la pidya olamit. Now that's it. Now you can't send it to Holin because it's kodesh. You did everything right. There's no more pidyon. Oh, but what do you see from over here? That if you found a nicer one, you can make a pidyon. What are you talking about? It's kedushat haguf. And if it's kedushat haguf, you cannot make a redemption. Also, what are you going to tell me? They made a condition when they originally took the original parah adumah, and they stipulated. They said, oh, we're only accepting this one if this is going to be the one. But if we find a nicer one, it'll have kedushat damim. Oh, but what are you talking? It's not such a common case, parah adumah. To find one parah adumah is not common. To find a nicer one is there was such a rarity. So therefore, think about asking a question. We had a question from the case of Abudim. We said, oh, there's a concept of lim bedin matneh. Thank you. I never heard of this concept. There's a new concept for me. Thank you very much. Lim bedin matneh. Beti can make tenais. Oh yeah, Beti make tenais. Can I ask you a question? How come Bittin doesn't make it tonight on Kippur? The Kippur case, that's Shchiyah, that they're going to lose it and all that. Oh, good. But Parah Adumah, which is more not Shchiyah, and you see, must be the Mayday tonight. Why? Because how would you be allowed to transfer the Kiddushah, make a Pidyon on a Parah Adumah that's perfectly viable, to put it on another one? Either you must say Bittin was matneh, that if we wanted to use it, love it. If we don't want to use it, we'll consider kushya, then we need to make a bijon. It's not shkia. The Gemara says, shani para, dekodshe bedekabayeti. So what are you talking about? Parat mazat kedushat aguf. Ask a question. Do you put the paradum on the mizbeach? Of course not. It's not a korban. The paradum is considered kedushat damim to start off with. And therefore, you can redeem it without any problem. Which means you don't need a condition for paraduma. That's why if you found another one, make the pidyon. And if we have no ra'ayat, anything over here. We were assuming it's kedushat aguf. Kedushat aguf in stipulations. It's not kedushat aguf, it's kedushat bedekabayit. If that's the case, we have the obvious question. Meta o nishchata tepadeh. Haba'ina na'amada ve'aracha. Amazing. Okay, it's kedushat damim. We have a rule that says like this. Whenever you want to make a redemption on kedushat damim items, you need to bring it in front of the Bet Din, and the Bet Din needs to make an assessment on the item in order to give it the proper evaluation. Kedushat damim always needs ha'amada ve'aracha. Let's take a case. I have a korban. I want to redeem it. What I got to do? Take the korban alive, bring it to the bed deed. Bed deed looks at it. Okay, we size it up. Yeah, it's about $252. Okay, give $252. They need hamadah ve'aracha. In this case over here, what happened to the paraduma? It died. And you tell me, it died, make pidyon. How could you make hamadah ve'aracha? It's dead. You can't bring it to the bed deed dead. So you have a technical problem. Okay, I accept this. Kedushat damim. How then could you make a pidyon after it's dead? What about the Amadav Aracha? Because Amani the Bishmoni. The Amal Kochem is Beya, Hayu, Bichlal, Amadav Aracha, Kochem, the Kapato, Bichlal, Amadav Aracha. Good, it's going to be Shimon. Bishmon is of the opinion that holds only Kochem Mizbeach needs Amadav Aracha, but Kochem, the Kapato, Kochem, the Mim does need Amadav Aracha. Beautiful. So they have a Paraduma is what? Kocheh damim, and therefore when it dies, just make a pidyon on the spot. You don't got to take it to the betin. You don't need a tenai because it's kedushat damim v'shalom Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and says, problem. Irabi Shimon. If you want to tell me that this paraduma story is Rabbi Shimon, ema sefa shechata al gabe ma'arachta. If they slaughtered it on the harazetim, the place that they were supposed to do it, ena pidya olamit. There's no pidyon on it because it was viable. It's kasher. It's fine. It's good. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that it's going like Rabbi Shimon. What about the sefa? What did the sefa say? If you slaughtered the korban on the harazetim, too late. What do you mean? This is amazing. We learned in a braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, para metameat tumat ochlim. Ho'il vaita lashat hakosher. Let's go slow. Para aduma is subject to the laws of Tum'at Ochlin. What is Tum'at Ochlin? That means if a sheretz touches an item, and that item touches a foodstuff, the foodstuff will become tameh. That's the rule. That means if a sheretz touched a paraduma, now the paraduma touched an ochel, Tum'at Ochlin. We have a problem. To be part of the perashav Tum'at Ochlin, it's got to be something that's mutar behana'ah. Things that are asur behana'ah are not subject to tum'at ochlim. Now the chaura, the paraduma, it's asur behana'ah. So Mishmo says, no, since at one point there was a heter, it wasn't asur behana'ah, So therefore, since at one point of the stage of the Paraduma it was Mutar Bahana'a, therefore it's considered subject to the Tumat of Ochlin. And when is that stage? Amar Ishtakish, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, Paran Niftit Al Gabe Ma'arachta. You have the Paraduma. Kadosh, beautiful, no moons or nothing. I bring it to the Ma'aracha, it's on Harazetim. Everything's viable. It's Tahor, it's Kadosh, everything. At this point over here, Rabbi Shimon says, if you want to, you can make Pidyon at this point as well. And since you can make Pidyon as well, so therefore it'll be Mutar Bahana'a, therefore it'll be subject to Tumahat Ochlin. V'chol ha'omed li padot kepadui dame. And even before you made Pidyon, since it's able to make Pidyon, it's like it is padui. From the fact that Rabbi Shimon holds that you can make Pidyon on the Parad, sorry, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon says that there's Tum'at Ochlin by Paraduma. And where's the Tum'at Ochlin by Paraduma? From the fact that he says when it's on the Ma'aracha, when it's on Arazetim, since you can make Pidyon on it, therefore it's considered like it's padui. And therefore it's Mutar Bana'a. Therefore, even before you made Pidyon on it, since it's able to make Pidyon, it's considered Mutar Bana'a. Then you have this, therefore Tum'at Ochlin. Oh, so what do you see, according to Rabbi Shimon? Against that Mishnah, because that Mishnah said once it goes on the Harazetim, it's not Shayach to make Pidyon anymore. Get the Sheklavetari on the outside now. You told me rule in Lev Bedin Matneh on things that are not Shchiyah. Paraduma, it's not Shchiyah. You see, making it tonight. No, what are you talking about? You're not making it tonight. That's Kedushat Damim. Paraduma is not Kedushat Damim. You don't need it tonight. It's Kedushat Damim. You don't put on the Mizbayah. Okay, beautiful. I accept. But you have another problem. Technical problem. It's Kedushat Damim. You need to bring it to Betin for an evaluation when you make it for you. You need Hamada Ba'aracha. Oh, that's not a question either. We're going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you only need Hamada Ba'aracha and Kedushat Aguf items. Or Kedushat Damim items? No problem. Ah, excellent. So you're committing me that Paraduma is a bishim on, you're stuck. Because it said once you bring it to Arazetim, and na pidyon, yeah, that's it, no more pidyon. But a bishim on who holds that Paraduma subject to Mat Ochlim, because that's Shahata Kosher, and when's the Shahata Kosher? When you put it on Arazetim so that you can make pidyon, even before you made the pidyon, it's considered Shahata Kosher. Does you see that why you can't make pidyon even when it's on Arazetim? It can't be the Bishim on. Yes? Odpa, to be, for something to have Tumat Ochlin, it has to be Mutar Bana'a. Bishim on says, Paraduma, yes, Tumat Ochlin. Where's the Mutar Bana'a? When you put it on Arazetim, since at this point you can make pidyon on it and you become Mutar Bana'a, so even before you made pidyon on it. But I mean, Amishta didn't say that. Amishta said, once you get started as a team, it's not pidyon. How can you tell me it's going to be Shimon? And what I says, according to this, we're back to square one. You can't tell me the Paraduma is Rabbi Shimon. Oh, and what? We're back to the question. How come then? I mean, I'm going to tell you Paraduma is Kedushat Aguf. If it's Kedushat Aguf, it needs a Tanai. But you told me that on things that are not Shkiyah, Tanai doesn't help. You can't do it. They don't do it. So then why by the Paraduma are you telling me that what? If you found a nicer one, no problem. Switch. What switch? Binti must have made it tonight. Binti must have made it tonight. They don't make it tonight on things that are not Shkiyah. Asking about the question. Don't tell me the Bishimon, because you can't go to the Bishimon route, because you're going to get stuck with the Bishimon in the Mishnah. So it's not going to work out to go to the Bishimon. So the Gemara finally answers, Ela Shani Para Hu'il V'dameha Yekarin. Paraduma's different because it's expensive. What does this mean? We read a Masechet Shabbat once, they were willing to buy a Paraduma for 600,000 dinarim. It's a very expensive commodity. So on expensive items, Nachamim, even though it's not such a common case, and even though it's far-fetched, the rabbis are going to make tenais in order to stave off the losses of parad. You're right. In a case where it's a regular korban of kippur, so you lose a couple $100, big deal. But a parad uma, since it's damei yekarim, so therefore we're going to make it tonight. Now I want to understand what this tonight was. Stop. You took the parad uma. What's this tonight? If the parad uma is good, let it work. Shat goof, no problem. But if you're going to tell me that the parad uma, we find a nicer one. So therefore, we want to put it as Kiddushat Damim, and therefore we want to give it the right to redeem it. I want to ask you a question. How's that going to save the Beit HaMikdash money? You bought this item for $600,000. Once already you tell me you don't want to use it, who's redeeming it? The guy's going to redeem it for how much? What's it worth?
$20.
$20. That guy's the one. Are you using this for Barad Duma? No, we're not using it for Barad Duma. It only has value because it's Barad Duma. So that's what the Kiddushat Damim of that's what the Hadush is. To save the Beit HaMikdash, $20 on the $600,000 investment. That's the some say yeah. That's what at least that's some saying them $20. $20 is $20. That's some shita to say that. Yeah, okay. Better than nothing. Be Kodesh, you want to save the Beit HaMikdash. That's a hard answer. Because it's much like Damei Yikarim. It's expensive. What's the difference expensive and expensive? You're only getting the cheap right anyway.
The aisle will also be expensive
according to this for the same $20.
You can't save it.
No, you can't save it without using it.
Actually,
no, it has to be a certain age. So therefore, I saw an explanation which is hard to say. It's an explanation in the Gemara, but it's brought down in the books. The tenai over here that they're making is like this. We can get a refund from the guy that we bought it from. Which means, if the parad uma we're going to use it, no problem. But if we find a better one, we go back to the guy, give us back our money, and take your parad uma back. The only problem is, that's brought down, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not the tenai of Beit Din. Tenai of Beit Din, what we're talking, Kiddushat Aguf, the Kiddushat Damim, this is different tenai. This is the tonight in Mecca or Memka. This is the tonight in business. No backseas here, backseas here. Refund, no refund. It's a different type of tonight, the Gemara is saying over here. Whatever, this is a question that has to be...
Maybe that's a condition, Rabbi.
Yeah, but again, the Gemara is saying you made a condition in this case.
With the guy.
Not listening to me. The Gemara is saying you made a condition. I told you that answer just now, that they made a condition with the guy. But I'm just telling you, that's not mashma, that this is the type of condition we were talking about. Till now we're talking Kiddushat Aguf, Kiddushat Damim, Nesachim, and all that. Hey, tell me, it's a different story. Okay, in any event, let's review now what happened as a result, because this is the finishing of the Gemara. Let's what happened in this Gemara. Gemara started off with a case of an Ola, that's Shalem, that you're able to redeem it at the end of the year. Rabbi Hanan. Rav Chazda came along and said, what are you talking? Where did the Kiddushah go? This is a good question. How could you make pinyon on things that don't have mum? That was his question. Rav Chazda, what are you talking?
Ketoret.
Ketoret doesn't have a mum. And the Mishnah clearly says, you can redeem it. And don't tell me it's Kiddushat Dami. But really, it's Kiddushat Haguf. Oh, so it's Kiddushat Haguf. So now really you have a good question. How can you redeem it? Just like you can ask me about Qurban Ola, you can ask this question by Ketoret as well. Gemara answer, easy answer. Live bedin matne alehim. The Tanai works it out. If it's Kiddushat Haguf, and then if we can't use it, we use it for Kiddushat Amim. Therefore, Kiddushat Amim is, you can make a redemption, no problem. Oh, redemption. So how come you don't do that on Kippur in the case of the lost animal? Lost animal, not Shkiyah. You don't make Tanais on things that are not Shkiyah. Oh, but you made it Tanai on Parad Uma. Because we know that the law is, if you took the Parad Uma and you found a better one, you can redeem this one and bring the other one. What do you mean? You must have made it Tanai, because how could you do that unless you make it Tanai? And Parad Uma is not a Shkiyah case. Oh, Shari Parad, Dameh Yekari. Parad Uma is very expensive. And therefore the rabbis, even though it's not Shkiyah, but to hedge the money that they spent on the Parad Uma, because it's over, even in the Loshkiya case, they held on to it. Baruch Adonai Olam.
Amen.